This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Everybody, welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. I'm Darren Karp. Go USA. Here with John Thrasher.
Finally,
this is our closing ceremony is tonight. If you're listening to this from the day that we drop it on Sundays, the closing ceremony is tonight. We're Tom Cruise. We can't talk about it yet. We don't know how.
Yeah.
But he's going to be handing off the torch to my lovely city in Los Angeles right now. Mm. So we'll be able to talk about that on next week's probably.
NFL, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. So excited to be here, John.
How
are ya?
I'm great. I know LA. I'm sad the Olympics are wrapping up. Actually, I love the Olympics. By the time this comes out, we'll know if the USA has won the gold medal in women's soccer. You were really excited about that on NMR, as you should, because guys, I don't know if you know this, Darren's screen name was Soaker Star. So
yes, but it was
not
pronounced.
Soccer. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it was. It,
how did you
my
spell
dad
it?
Thought of it. S-O-K-K-E-R-S-T-R. Hello.
S-T-R. So it wasn't even like, you know, star. You had to get rid of that A.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Well, they didn't have it available, so you can just.
Oh, wow. I can just what? Go ahead, say it to my
yeah,
face.
Yeah, no, you can just. You
wow.
Can just, yeah, yeah, you can yeah. just. You can just chill right off there. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Here we go. And speaking of yeah. chilling, I am going to. I haven't had a drink on the show in a while. I'm not like drinking, but I.
You're cracking something open though.
I'm about to crack open my world famous Diet Coke. Okay?
Is that a normal size can or is that a tiny
yeah,
can? I can't.
It's a
tell.
Normal one. It's
oh,
a
it's
Nano.
A normie. It's a normie.
I think. Oh, 12 ounce. I didn't know it was 12
ounce. Oh, big boy over here. I hope it spills everywhere. That would be amazing.
I know. I'm trying not to get it on
also,
my
how thing. Unsatisfying is it when you open a can? I did this with my seltzer yesterday, and I don't know if it was just in the back, but it like opens and it like, you don't hear that crisp like.
I throw it
I
away.
I hate that.
I throw it away immediately. I think it'll be flat. I don't want anything to do with it. If you're
right,
not going to
no,
give me
you.
The
yeah,
sound,
no,
I'm
you.
Not interested.
I agree with that. I agree with
and
that.
Usually, you know, I know recently I've been, when I do drink, I usually have just water, but like I needed a little something, something, you know what I mean?
A
little
pick
something,
me.
something.
You need a little pick me up. Pick me up.
Well, speaking of a little something, let's get into
yes.
this week's episode.
I think
because
you should do it. I think
I
you
would,
should kick us
yeah.
off.
Yeah. I would sit yeah. here and talk about Diet Coke for hours if you let me, but let's not do that. That's not why people signed up.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so in
I
the
mean, it's why
I mean,
I do
maybe
the show,
they did.
but
yeah,
okay.
maybe they did. Okay, so in the winter of 2007, Shannon Gale Christian and Hugh Christopher Newsom Jr. fell victim to a horrific carjacking incident that would spiral into one of the largest scandals in Knoxville history. Shannon Christian was born in Texas on April 29th, 1985. Her family relocated to Knoxville, Tennessee when she was just 12 years old. Now, Shannon graduated from the local high school in 2003, so she's a year older than I am. I graduated in 04. Darren, you were 06?
Yes, I was 06.
Okay,
that is correct.
So there we go. And so this person is around our age, or was, I should say, and went on to study sociology at the University of Tennessee. So in November of 2006, 21-year-old Shannon began dating 23-year-old Christopher Newsom. Now, Christopher was a Knoxville native, a renowned high school baseball player who went on to study carpentry at Pellissippi State Community College. I think I'm saying that correctly. And
I
on
think that's right. That's
yeah.
how I would do it. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm American, but not really
You're
Southern
okay.
in that way. Yeah, I'm okay. Well, on Saturday, January 6th, 2007, Shannon planned to visit a friend and attend a party with Chris. She made a phone call to her mother to check in and let her know that she planned to return home later that evening. During the day, Shannon spent some time at her best friend's apartment before Chris picked her up. And as they were leaving the complex, Shannon was annoyed with Chris. They were supposed to be attending a friend's birthday party, and Chris was running late. Well, as she sat in the front seat of her Toyota 4Runner parked outside, Chris tried to make things right, hugging her and kissing her, and just stood outside of the driver's side door. As the couple made up, they were approached by a group of strangers led by a man named Lamarcus Davidson. Lamarcus was a drug dealer on parole for prior carjacking offenses. And along with Lamarcus was his friend Eric Boyd, his brother Latalvis Cobbins, and two of Latalvis's friends, a couple, George Thomas and Vanessa Coleman.
Okay, well, you know, kind of a precarious situation you're making up with your significant other and approached by strangers seems a little, you know, a little
sus.
Frightening.
Yeah, a little sus.
Now, just days prior, Latalvis, George, and Vanessa had traveled from Kentucky to stay with Lamarcus. All four were unemployed, broke, and had no cars or means of transportation. And sometimes desperate times calls for desperate measures.
Yes,
here,
exactly. Yes.
So Lamarcus quickly began to grow frustrated with his guest, taking his anger out on his then girlfriend, Daphne Sutton, who finally broke up with him on January 5th. The breakup left Lamarcus so angry that he made the decision to blow off some steam by stealing himself a new ride with the help of his brothers and friends. Now, Shannon,
and remember,
and Chris,
he has a background in this, so this isn't really that new. Yeah,
he's basically coming off of, you know,
right,
getting out of jail for this. Now, Shannon and Chris didn't see Lamarcus, Eric, and Latalvis arrive in the lot, which was in a car they actually borrowed from a friend. The three attackers quickly sprung into action. Eric and Lamarcus left their car as Latalvis pulled away. While the group only intended to rob Chris and Shannon and steal their SUV, casual.
Oh, just that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sudden headlights from another vehicle startled the pair, and they pushed the couple into their SUV at gunpoint.
Wow.
Probably not really knowing how to handle it. Now, in the car, the couple was bound. Shannon was placed in the trunk. Chris was forced face down in the back seat. Absolutely fucking terrifying. And he was coming off of having a fight with your partner. So you're just you feel all alone. Lamarcus drove their SUV back to his home on Chipman Street, with Latalvis following behind in the borrowed vehicle. And once inside the house, both Shannon and Chris were brutally beaten and sexually assaulted, which says to me that this is not just a carjacking, because even if you freaked out and put them in your car, why do you have to beat them and sexually assault them? I get throwing them on the side of the road in that sort of sense and stealing their whatever, but why beat and sexually assault them? That seems like it's not just a carjacking to me.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm just trying to like make sense. I'm like trying to visualize what's happening here, and it's like a whole group of people, and it's, I'm sure, like, you know, things were being escalated and the adrenaline was pumping, and like, you know, it's hard to tell if this was sort of a premeditated thing when it comes to the beating and the sexual assault, but nonetheless, it's disturbing. You
no,
know?
It's disturbing. Oop. I'm sorry.
That's
I thought
okay.
My ringer was off. Now, according to trial records and Knox News Sentinel, quote, none of the suspects concede involvement in Chris's death. But trial testimony statements and forensic evidence suggests that Lamarcus, Latalvis, Eric, and George forced Chris into the rear cargo compartment of the SUV, leaving Vanessa behind with Shannon.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay, so that sort of tells a different story here. Now, Chris was transported to a nearby railroad track that ran parallel to Chipman Street. He was gagged with a sock in his mouth, his arms were tied behind his back, and his legs were bound together by his own belt.
God, this is just horrible.
I can't even imagine just the panic. Now, his head was covered with a sweatshirt, and it was tied around his neck with shoelaces. Also terrifying. Like, I just can't imagine being suffocated this way. He was actually then forced to walk along the railroad tracks barefoot until he was shot three times with a .22 caliber gun. This is brutal. Twice in the back by George, paralyzing him, and once in the head, execution style, by Lamarcus. I don't know why they felt they had to do this. The group of men then wrapped Chris's body in a comforter and set it on fire. Why all of this?
Well, and what was the...
Why torture this man? He didn't do anything. Like, why that? Yeah,
I know. That's what I'm not understanding, is like, if they just wanted the car, why are they being so brutal about everything?
Well, right. I mean, it's... Yeah, just...
And what's going on in Knoxville and like Tennessee in general, where everyone's being set on fire? I feel like I've heard of so many cases where people's bodies have been set on fire down there. Can you guys relax? Good Lord.
I truly have no idea. It's fairly terrifying to me. I don't know. I don't know why. This seems just like a horrible way to die, and just brutal and torture. So I don't know what's going on here at all.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We don't know yet. Let's see what happens here. But meanwhile, back at the house, remember, Shannon's brutal sexual assault continued unrelentingly. The group promised her that if she followed their instructions, she would be released. These proved to be false promises, however, because after they finished with the sexual portion of Shannon's assault, they beat her with some sort of heavy object. Shannon had suffered two blows to the head. The group then dragged her body through Lamarcus's living room and coated her throat in bleach in an attempt to destroy any of the DNA evidence. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was really tragic and disgusting.
Jesus.
Shannon was then, similarly to Chris, hogtied with fabric, and while she was still alive, was placed inside a black garbage bag with a plastic shopping bag over her head and left to suffocate. I mean, these are some of the most horrible details. On the morning of Monday, January 9th, a body was reported on the train tracks. Law enforcement was quickly able to identify it as belonging to 23-year-old Christopher Newsom. Shannon was still missing, but the discovery instilled urgency amongst the community at large to find the missing woman. Now, when Shannon's car was discovered near Chipman Street, authorities immediately began searching it for any clues as to what could have happened to Shannon. So, really disturbing stuff, Darren, but we want to take a quick break because that was a lot. Let's be honest. That was a lot of like really horrific details.
Horrendous.
Yes. So we wanted to just mention you guys Patreon. We'll take a break from the details and tell you we just shipped out Beanie Babies. Okay.
Yeah, my personal collection of Beanie Babies have officially shipped, which is exciting.
That's right. Some of you guys that signed up on Patreon a couple of months ago, sent us your information. And by the way, when you're at the Sussy Radish tier, which is our highest level, you get a physical gift every year. So this is what that is for a lot of the people from 2023. I know it's August. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we finally sent out our physical gift and we're really excited. I know a lot of you guys that are Patreon members were commenting on our Patreon post. Really
I'm really
excited.
Proud of this gift. I think like it's so cool and like attention to detail. If you've been listening to us for a long time, you were going to get it. And
yeah,
I don't know. I really like the gift.
Yeah, I think it's cute too. It's very unique to the show, which I really love. Yeah. And by the way, we posted a picture of Magic next to a big pile of the boxes that we shipped out. He did help me.
Well, because he helps.
He did help me. He helped, I used his little paw and he helped, put the little stamps.
He sealed things up.
But aside from that, we had a poll up recently about covering the upcoming Scott Peterson documentary on Peacock. Patreon spoke, Darren, and what did they say?
We will be covering it. We were probably going to cover it anyway because I'm pretty fascinated by the case.
Yeah, we were.
But look forward to that because it's coming out pretty soon. So we're going to try and drop that right when the doc airs. So hopefully you guys can catch it as soon as it drops.
That's right. And so comment on Patreon with your thoughts about that once it's out. We would love to read those on the show. And just a reminder, Patreon is just as little as $5 a month, and it really does help our show. We've built such an amazing community. You can get it even cheaper if you sign up annually. That's less than the price of a Starbucks drink these days, So it really...
Or Dunkin' Donuts. And I have a feeling that this Scott Peterson case is going to spark a lot of discussion like Casey Anthony.
Yeah, I'm sure it
will.
People
just are so set on their feelings about this and this could change. So
it's a good point. That's a really good point.
We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So check us out on Patreon if you haven't already. It's patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed, or you can click the link in our show notes. All right. Darren, back to the show here.
Just tried to predict what you were saying there.
Yeah, you did. You always are doing that. It's fine.
Well, pivoting back to Shannon's car, which was actually discovered near Chipman Street. So though most of the car was wiped clean, investigators discovered a discarded bank envelope from the back seat. They were able to collect a single fingerprint belonging to Lamarcus. Let me just say, sneeze. That, these people are so fucking sick and twisted that they're putting bleach down her throat and then they fucking forget a bank envelope in the back seat.
That's pretty stupid.
But like, who would even think to put bleach down her throat? Like I've never even heard of that before. I never even think of to do that, which is disgusting and twisted. But I'm just saying they're going to kind of think of that. Well, obviously this bank statement is kind of it's huge. It's a break in the case. This led them to Lamarcus's nearby home where police made a chilling discovery. Shannon's lifeless body was found in a trash can there, beaten, assaulted, and with remnants of bleach in her throat, not normal. Though her injuries were numerous and severe, the medical examiner determined that her ultimate cause of death was suffocation. And within a few days, police were able to track down Eric Boyd's vehicle. By the way, testament to the strength of the human body that you can go through all of that and it's suffocation that kills you, not that just being beaten and raped and put
of course
down your throat. But anyway, within a few days, police were able to track down Eric Boyd's vehicle. And when they pulled him over, he agreed to lead law enforcement to Lamarcus. Wow, so much for loyalty here with his friends.
Right.
Though he tried to hide from police, Lamarcus was taken into custody. He was still wearing Chris's sneakers at the time of his capture, which is all so fucking twisted.
Yeah.
And by the end of the month, Vanessa, George, and Latalvis were also arrested and detained in Lebanon, Kentucky. Now, initially, Vanessa was treated as a witness in the case. She claimed that she'd been present for the attacks, but paralyzed by fear for her own safety. Could be true. I could see a world under which that would be true. Although, what kind of people are you hanging out with? Guys that are going to be willing to do this? I doubt this was their first time, but okay. Now, during their investigation, authorities discovered a journal entry written by Vanessa, written the night Shannon and Chris were killed. And the entry reads, quote, "Last night was one of a kind. We stayed with a crackhead that is cool as hell. It snowed a little bit, but it's already melted. Let's talk about adventures. I had one hell of an adventure since I've been in the big TN, Tennessee. It's a crazy world these days, but I love the fun adventures and lessons that I've learned. It's going to be a long, interesting year," end quote. Now, keep in mind, that was the night that Shannon and Chris were killed, so I'm not confident she was paralyzed by this fear.
Right.
Vanessa was later obviously indicted along with the rest of the group, given this diary entry, and thus began a series of trials and retrials for this group of attackers.
Well, I want to say something about diary entries. What do you think about diary entries? Because, you know, go ahead. I asked you a question.
I think they're a slice of the person. I think it's the best slice of a person's mentality. I guess like diary entries are along the ideas of making a social video today, like blogging getting the best in time reaction. Yeah. Snapshot of what that person was thinking, you know, whether or not that can be forged or not, or you're high off adrenaline or that's what you actually think. I don't know the answer to that.
My thing is, over the years, having done so many of these episodes and producing, you know, for Oxygen, A&E and others, Discovery, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I just feel like sometimes, and I'm not saying it is applying to this case necessarily, but anytime I hear about a diary entry where the person is like writing down details, like it snowed, but it melted, like I just always raise my eyebrows a little bit because it's too perfect of a way to be like, hey, look, it's in their own writing. It's right here. We found this diary entry and it says everything we wanted to say. And again, I'm not saying that's necessarily even what's ever happened, but I just think like it just comes, you know, and you just mentioned the selfie, like that's a whole different thing. If you're recording a video, you can see intent and you see the person talking.
Right. It doesn't seem as if you're so distraught you can't possibly.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and I'm not in the
with
other
yourself here. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. And I think about, you know, listen, let's just be honest. There's a lot of evidence tampering by police departments over the history of our country, at least. And I'm not saying that's applying here or anywhere else. I'm just simply saying when I see diary entries, I always think, are we 100% sure that's her? Are we 100% that's her handwriting? Did the police have a moment to sort of write this out? Or what does the diary entry look like? Is it a thrown away piece of paper? Did it belong with other diary entries? Like, I don't know. There's just so much around a diary entry. I don't know many people that even still have diaries these days. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I don't know, like, how legal they are in the court of law.
That's
like,
the other
I,
thing.
It's,
yeah.
it, it's, it feels like almost like a dental impression. It's like you could easily forge a diary or entry. And obviously you'd have to compare handwriting samples and like who knows. But I do think it's like important. Like it has a place. I don't know if it should be the definitive.
My thoughts exactly. And I feel like we hear so many definitive, like, oh, the diary entry reads, like, look at what we just mentioned, you know, eventually she's indicted with the rest of the groups. Was it because she wrote that, you know, whatever she was writing about staying with a crackhead? Like, does that mean you're guilty of a crime? I don't know. But
anyway,
sometimes I just think things like that can be a little sus. And as you know, as true crime podcasters, it's our job to sort of think about things like that.
You're sussing.
I'm sussing a little bit. I find it a hair sussy. All right. Anyway, back to the show and the details here. So in April of 2008, Eric was brought to trial. He was the only participant not charged with murder. Eric was found guilty of being an accessory to the fatal carjacking and for failing to report the location of a known fugitive. He was sentenced to 18 years in prison, which he's currently serving in Yazoo County, Mississippi. Yazoo County. That's a new county I've never heard of.
Yeah, that's never heard of that at all.
Never heard of that one. Now, Vanessa was indicted on 12 counts of felony murder related to rape, robbery, kidnapping, and theft, one count of premeditated murder of Shannon only, one count of especially aggravated robbery of Chris only, and four counts of especially aggravated kidnapping, 20 counts of aggravated rape, let me catch my breath, and two counts of theft. So she's got a lot going on. Now, Vanessa was originally sentenced to 35 years in prison and was denied parole back in 2020. George was indicted on 16 counts of felony murder related to rape, robbery, and kidnapping, committing against Shannon and Chris, two counts of premeditated murder, two counts of especially aggravated robbery, four counts of especially aggravated kidnapping, 20 counts of aggravated rape, and two counts of theft. So he's got a lot. Yeah. Meanwhile, Latalvis faced the same 46 charges as George, plus an additional charge for assaulting a correctional officer while incarcerated pending trial. So this guy's just racking up all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, winner.
So in October of 2008, the house on Chipman Street was torn down. A memorial marker for the couple was placed in the couple's memory. In August of 2009, Latalvis was found guilty on all charges and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The same month, George was also found guilty of all charges and was granted the same sentence, life in prison without the possibility of parole. And in 2013, George was granted a retrial where he was found guilty on all 38 charges once again and was resentenced to life in prison, but this time with a possibility of parole after 51 years.
So by that time, at least he would be a much older man, you know, exactly. 50 years in jail. I would think at least would change somebody, but.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I'm reading this book right now, actually, called Troubled by Rob Henderson, which is a diary, sort of a memoir about his troubled upbringing, foster families, just in and out. He eventually went to Yale. It's a little bit of a J.D. Vance type of situation, a little hillbilly elegy. He went to school with J.D. Vance. Not politically. I'm just saying in terms of like the type of story of sort of like overcoming these obstacles in his life. But he was saying how basically, especially where he grew up, you know, basically the time where most boys, like the reason the military is sometimes, because he ends up going into like the military and fighting, but he talks about how basically from like young, older teens to basically early 20s, that's the period, especially for troubled young men, where they don't really have a parental figure, is when they get into trouble and they usually go to prison and they, you know, get into drugs or do whatever. And so the reason the military is good is not only to teach you discipline, but it keeps you so distracted from getting into trouble.
Yeah, for sure. For those 100%. Ages. Yeah.
And it's just interesting. Like, I'm curious about these guys' backgrounds to sort of how did they get here in this type of way? Because these are serious counts for people who are pretty young.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Obviously, it's premeditated, so which is even crazier, just how they kind of all came together.
Right. Well, totally.
In 2016, George's retrial concluded with a verdict of two life sentences and 25 years. Right. In October of 2009, ringleader Lamericus was found guilty of two counts of premeditated murder and was sentenced to death. Wow. He was transferred to Riverbend Maximum Security Prison in Nashville, Tennessee, where he's still waiting through the appeals process. It does take a long time to kill someone, thank God. Now, since the incident, the small Knoxville community has been forever changed. The incident reminded residents of the normally safe town to always stay aware of their surroundings. And after the conclusion of the trials, Shannon and Chris's families lobbied for new legislature to be put into place. The Shannon Christian Act, which was passed in 2014, 10 years ago, restricts attorneys and defendants from raising questions about a deceased victim's past to throw their morals or character into question.
Well, that's so good.
So if something was up with Shannon and Chris, perhaps they had a rocky marriage, you know, rocky relationship, or she hit him or whatever, it shouldn't necessarily have anything to do with the current murder situation. It might, but it just, Now, Shannon's character was called into question by the defense team on several occasions during trial, which seemed wrong, as she was no longer present to speak for herself. She couldn't advocate for her reputation there.
Yeah, what does her character have to do with the fact that they were carjacked and murdered? Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't make the perps. Those are kind of two separate situations. Even if she wasn't a good person, has nothing to do with the fact that she was caught here, unless for some reason she was involved, which clearly she wasn't. The families have also established foundations in the Chris and Shannon's names. The Shannon Christian Foundation and the Shannon Christian Golf Tournament provide a scholarship to a Farragut High School senior to attend the University of Tennessee, which is really amazing. Sweet. Similarly, the Newsom family started a foundation in Chris's name, which provides a scholarship to a local graduating baseball player and holds an annual baseball tournament at the community park. A slight flower bloom and kind of a series of just like dark clouds and muddy waters, but tragedy all around that hopefully can bring a community together. This didn't happen long ago, and just like shitty situation, to say the least.
Yeah. And I will mention, too, I was looking up some details about this case before we recorded. There's a very interesting, I think it's about like 16-minute YouTube video from Knoxville News. And it's sort of this documentary. It's called The Murders of Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom. And, you know, it really, you get to hear from like the parents and you get to know more about them. And I always think that's an interesting thing to add here because it does humanize these victims, you know, and give you a sort of better sense of who they were, and frankly, you know, gives a little more humanizes them, you know. They're not just a story here on the show. They are human beings that had a life. And, you know, specifically, I love the last details here that Megan and did such a great job of putting together about Chris being a baseball player, because, you know, in that documentary you can see pictures of him playing baseball. And you know, it's a tragic ending, but at least, like you said, Darren, there's a flower blooming with, you know, these kind of scholarships and stuff. So.
And let me also just say, this case also seems kind of rare, because a lot of these things that happen to victims usually happen to someone they know. It doesn't really happen to strangers too often. Like, the perpetrators usually know their victims, typically. So this also is kind of a rare case, because one of the tragic things is sort of scaring a town into believing that they need to watch around the bend every single second, which is also like pretty insidious and kind of happens slowly over time. And like, you sort of hate to see people lose their hope and sort of their sense of like obliviousness to that. You know, there's something about ignorance being bliss, but a town is lost when something like this happens, even though the likelihood of happening it again in a small town is probably very, very uncommon. But still, you know, there's a lot of lives still lost when something like this happens. So.
It's true. Yeah. Well, let us know what you guys thought about this week's episode. Hit us up at Jay Thrasher and Carpe Darren. You can hit us up on our Facebook page. And of course, if you're on Patreon, message us there, put it in the comments, and we'll be sure to read those on future episodes.
Yeah. And speaking of the Facebook page, I want to actually get to the shout out, which I loved. If you don't mind if I take it first, we actually want to give a special shout out to one of the newest radishes in our garden. She's spicy. We got Sierra, who posted in our Facebook group. Hi, all. Just found this podcast. So excited to get caught up. And many of you, of course, welcomed her with open arms and said super sweet things about us. So thank you for that. We hope you stick around, Sierra. Definitely feel free to comment, because we'd love to hear from you.
Welcome to the garden. You know, it's also like, welcome to the salad. Are we a salad or are we just a garden?
Well, I'm from Jersey. I'm from a garden state. So it does make sense. Oh,
okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that's nice.
But I feel like it's like a radish-only salad.
Yeah, it's just have, like, radishes. Delicious. Yes.
Right. It's just radishes. Like, you can't really be anything else in the fucking garden. So like, not sure we're a salad.
Yeah, maybe that's right. Maybe that's right. I want to read what a listener named Coco, I've seen you a lot in our Facebook group. She said something that she said, I should say. Coco says, quote, "Welcome to the fam, young radish. Be prepared for laughs, WTF moments, ships, cats, and so many other things that are too long to list. Most of all, be ready for addiction of this show. Any questions, just ask. You'll get an answer from any of us."
Oh, Coco, that's so nice, I love Coco. You. I know. I love all of them. I love all our dear, sweet, spicy radishes. I love it all.
And I want to make it clear, Coco is not, that is not a fake account that I created. That is an actual human being. So just to be clear.
True. True.
Thank you, guys. Magic. And that's right. Yeah, it's magic's like, you know, personal account. Thank you guys so much for listening. Darren, you shared your insect ambush on last week's NMR. You gave us an update on this week's NMR. And I want to mention that many of our listeners were sending well wishes, including Patreon Radish Lauren, who said, quote, "Darren, .. pants, long sleeves, and socks on your next walk."
Had socks.
Okay.
The sleeves were fine. Pants would be great, except it's August in LA and it's like very hot. But like,
Yeah.
you're right. I should do it. I'm
Lauren is
gonna.
right.
Lauren is right. Our radishes are never wrong.
Listen to Mommy
I
Lauren.
stand
She's trying to make
corrected.
sure you're okay. All right.
That's right. Maybe she's the daddy. We don't know.
That's true. Maybe she's Daddy Lauren. Well, listen
Yeah.
to your parent, Darren, in this regard.
I will.
Yeah, if you want to hear an update on Darren's leg and my reaction, by the way, to it,
Yes.
she sent me a picture during the recording. You guys should go back and listen to it. It's available right now on our public feed. It's a lot. Let's just put it that
Yeah.
way. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Don't forget to take your vitamins.
Yes, and please check your pits, especially if you have a penis, John, and stop eating, John, a fucking whole pack of raw weenies. You love to
Oh
do
my
that,
God.
especially on the show, and it's annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
All
yeah.
right. Sierra's like, what's happening? All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.